There was an article in the Los Angeles Times recently about the importance of parents reading to their children. The article mentioned an informal study of parents with children in 10 kindergarten classrooms in which only two of the children were read aloud to more than once a week.
Here's Dr. James Dobson with Family Talk.
Every teacher will tell you that the children who are read to by their parents have an academic head start over other boys and girls. More than just better reading skills, they usually get an extra dose of confidence, and they're better able to communicate with the teacher and the other students. When the television set replaces books, however, it's clear that more than test scores suffer. Watching television is often a very passive experience, but there's a certain magic that happens when a parent is holding a child on his lap, reading a book to him. There's an interaction and a communication that takes place between generations. Your child may point to a picture or ask a question or make a statement, and every story can then become a springboard for conversation into the child's world. A time of reading aloud at the end of the day can be an important time of learning for your child, a time of relaxation and stress relief for you, and a special avenue to bonding and intimacy for both of you. That small amount of effort is guaranteed to pay big dividends in the days ahead.
Hear more at MyFamilyTalk.com.
Today on Family Talk.
Family devotions are important if you seek to disciple your children into Christ-following adults. But how can a mom or dad get rid of the guilt and make devotions effective? On today's edition of Family Talk, my dad, Dr. James Dobson, interviews Bruce Wilkinson on how to have effective family devotions with your spouse and children. The interview begins right now.
You said, "I'm looking forward with pleasure to meeting you for a session on family devotions. Without a doubt, there is more guilt amassed on the consciences of Christian parents regarding their failure on this issue than hardly anything else."
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and as I just mentioned at the top of the program, we are going to wind the clock back and enjoy a classic interview between my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and Dr. Bruce Wilkinson on how you can disciple your children into Christ-following adults. Dr. Wilkinson is a Christian teacher and author who has a Master's of Theology from Dallas Theological Seminary and a Doctorate in Divinity from Western Conservative Baptist Seminary. He has served on the overview committees for several versions of the Bible and is an expert on discipleship, especially as it relates to kids. In just a moment, we'll get to that program, but before we do, this is the final week to take advantage of our special May offer. Right now, just through the end of this week, all donations we receive, you can get two amazing resources: my dad's book, Love for a Lifetime, and the corresponding DVD from our brand new Building a Family Legacy film series. Again, it's just through the end of this week. To stand with Family Talk on behalf of families, give today by clicking on the link at the top of our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. So let's wind the clock back now and listen to my dad and Dr. Bruce Wilkinson on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Now, you wrote me a letter a couple of weeks ago, and I want to start with the first paragraph from the letter. And we were discussing what we were going to talk about here and trying to get ready for this broadcast. And we had agreed that we wanted to talk about the spiritual life of children and family devotions. And this is what you said to me. You said, "I'm looking forward with pleasure to meeting you for a session on family devotions. Without a doubt, there is more guilt amassed on the consciences of Christian parents regarding their failure on this issue than hardly anything else. Whenever the subject surfaces, men cringe at it, women harp on it, and children shudder at it. Is that the level to which family devotions have sunk even in the Christian family and Christian home?"
That's right, Jim. There was a study in Atlanta not too long ago among three of the major denominations in the city. And when they asked the typical adult attending church, "What is your biggest felt problem?" They said, "My kids are my biggest problem, and we can't get this thing of family devotions together. And I feel so guilty because I know I ought to do it, and every time I try it, things fall apart." So it's almost like, from our point of view, family devotions has kind of gone out of vogue a little bit in the generations that's living today. It's almost like our parents believed in family devotions and did them much more than our counterparts.
Now, we do have some excuses, or at least some circumstances that would explain why we have trouble with that. We live a much more hurried lifestyle, and the pace is so much worse. These things mitigate against those quiet study times and interaction times in the family, don't they? Or is that a rationalization?
I think those things are true in everybody's family, but I think that's just a surface issue. I really feel that many of the people grew up in a Christian home, and their family had family devotions, but they want no part of it.
Yeah.
They were bored to death, and they don't want to revive that corpse again in their family. I mean, all they have is, that was cod liver oil, and I don't want to do that. That's not a winner.
I have a minister friend who said that he went to a conference of ministers, and they were having kind of a sharing session, a seminar, and there were about 30 of them sitting in a circle, and they were all talking about their childhoods and what kind of homes they grew up in. And the issue of family devotions came up, and they started at the other side of the circle from my friend and came all the way around, with each person expressing what family devotions had meant to them in their childhoods. And it came all the way around to him. And by the time it reached him, he said, not one minister there, these are ministers of the gospel, said anything positive about their recollections of family devotions. They remembered them as being boring. They remembered them as being oppressive and long. And they just remembered it as one of the most miserable times of their childhood. Is that necessary to learn the Word?
That isn't necessary, but there sure hasn't been very many positive models of good family devotions. In fact, when you think about it, the average family experiences a hiccup habit of family devotions. You know, opening school, mom says that typically at supper time, when everything's falling apart, this year we're going to have family devotions. I don't care if it kills us. Mm-hmm. The average number of days of family devotions will last between 7 and 10 days, and then you'll go through about 37 odd dads. 13, do we have to do this? 6, it's been so boring. And then at night, they go about 3 between mom and dad when, it's just not worth it.
Kids can sabotage devotions, can't they?
Boy, so I mean, easy.
Yeah,
because
they can
the
make up their
insecure mind,
I am not going along with this. And so they slink down on their backbones, and they shut their eyes like they're asleep, or they play with the dog, or they yawn. And I mean, you got to know where you're going and have confidence to keep it up day after day.
You know, parents get motivated about the time that the son brings home the third pink slip.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, we need more of God in our family. And it's back to devotions. But you know that they're not the correct motivations to keep you going.
Or when he brings blinking red lights to the front door, that's where they really turn
right
to their
boy.
Knees,
that's
don't
right.
they? You made reference a moment ago to something I want to pick up on. You were talking about the fact that mom says we're going to have family devotions. Is it mom who usually does that?
I would say 99% of the time, it's mother. I think God put in a woman more spiritual interest than he gave to a man. When you watch 1,000 Christian males and 1,000 Christian females, and you just gauge the interest, the woman has more interest.
And yet he put the primary responsibility on the man.
Yes, he did. And there's that response where the husband says, I feel comfortable in business. I feel comfortable on an athletic field, but boy, you give me the Bible. What on earth am I supposed to do?
Yeah, and there are a lot of other complications that we ran into in our family with the age range between Danae and Ryan. There was 5 years between them, and there's an awful lot of difference between an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old, or a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old, or a 13-year-old and an 8-year-old, and all the way through what would appeal to one bored the other, and vice versa. Let me go back to this matter of men versus women and who assumes the ultimate responsibility. One of the most common complaints I hear from women, and it comes up over and over and over, it's that the man will not assume spiritual leadership. That must be an item that frustrates women more than almost anything else about men.
And Jim, you know what? I think that probably frustrates the men just as much, because they want to be a spiritual leader. But you know what, Jim? They didn't see that modeled in their dad.
Yeah.
And the women somehow find it easier to lead spiritually than men do. You just watch it.
What do you recommend when a woman wants to have a meaningful spiritual life with the whole family? The husband will not do it. What do you tell her to do? Wait for him or to get going on it?
You know, Jim, I think that that happens a lot of times. And usually it's the husband is a believer and the woman is a believer. They go to church at least once a week. And if you were to ask the man, do you want to have family devotions? He would say, yes, I really do. Have you ever tried them? Yes, I have, and they don't work. They don't work. The kids hate them, and I'm not going to waste my time. But if you go right back and say, do you want to have them if they worked? His obvious answer is yes, because I know we need to be doing something. And I think what the church has done, you know, even your comments about the pastors are the one who says Sunday morning, you ought to be having family devotions. Yeah. But when's the last time any of us have ever heard a sermon on, here's what you do?
And we'll be back to the program right after this.
One of the great tragedies of human experience is that the natural curiosity of children often disappears over time. Somehow we allow the excitement about learning to dissipate and let our children sink into the mire of boredom.
Here's Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk.
So many parents ask me how they can keep that curiosity alive in their children. How do we motivate them to want to learn and study and grow and explore? According to educator Cherry Fuller, one good way is to identify the areas they are naturally interested in and capitalize on them. If your son neglects his studies to pursue his baseball card collection, use his interest in baseball to explore math. How do you figure hitting averages? Which pitcher has the lowest earned run average? You need to know math to find out. One friend found a local graphic artist to tutor his teenage daughter one evening a week. She had an interest in art, and this taught her how her hobby could be turned into a career. It helped her see beyond high school and began to acquaint her with one of her greatest strengths. Another friend's daughter expressed an interest in healthcare. Now, at 13 years old, she's volunteering at a hospital. It's done wonders for her self-esteem and for her interest in science classes. Find out what your child is good at, and then give them the tools and encouragement to run with it.
Hear more at MyFamilyTalk.com.
And now, back to the program.
Most people are confused about what family devotions really are. And I think it's important for us to distinguish what they aren't.
Let's have it.
Okay. I think most people think that family devotions is Sunday school held Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And it's not. Another misconception is that all of a sudden the parent becomes the preacher and stands there and gets the Bible and wings it at the children. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind about the subject you're misbehaving on, and I got the Bible in my right hand, therefore God agrees with me, and you better shape up or God's going to get you.
It's often used that way,
isn't it? Boy, it really is. And I think the third misconception is that most parents think, here's a chance for me to get something across to my children that they're really blowing it in. And you know, if you view family devotions that way, no wonder the children squirm in the seat. They don't want a boring Sunday school class, and they don't want a parent who preaches to them, and they certainly don't want to be disciplined verbally when the Bible's out. I mean,
That almost becomes family exhortation instead of devotion. Is that where the emphasis ought to be, on devoting yourself, on expressing praise and love to God? Is that the emphasis? Is it well-termed?
No, it's not well-termed. It's not well-termed. And before we get to that, let me share an embarrassing situation that happened in our own ministry. We have a chapel for our team once a week in which we nurture and exhort and encourage each other through the Bible. And something had happened in the preceding 2 weeks that really got me angry. And I came in, it was my turn for chapel. I really blew it. And I blew it because I used family devotions to discipline. And their expectations were in one area. You know, the man's going to come and he's going to bless us and teach us and encourage us. And you know, one of the staff members said to me later on, he said, you know, what you said was wrong, but where you said it. Why didn't you call a meeting just to let us know what's really bothering you? And I think that that's exactly the right. So I really think we need to take another look at family devotions and make it so the children look forward to it. It's an upper, it's a positive, it's, I can't wait for family devotions. And if we just changed as parents our thinking about what it is and got in our head a new definition and a new set of expectations, I think...
All right, let's do that, Bruce. I am a father, and I have three kids at home, and I did not grow up in a Christian home. I've never seen it modeled, and I don't know how to bring my family to the Lord, but I know I ought to, and I'm looking for help. What do you say to me?
Okay, I say to you, number one, you need to know what it is so you know how to aim to the right target. Because oftentimes people will say, this wasn't very meaningful, and they don't really know they were aiming their arrow at the wrong direction.
What's the target?
The target is that family devotions have five parts to them. Number one, they're a regular scheduled activity. Now, that's got to be part of it. It's not only do you try and build into your children when things are casual, when something comes up, when a crisis happens, when a question's asked, but family devotions, to be family devotions, has to be regular, and it needs to be scheduled. The second thing it is, it has to be with the majority of the family. So it's regular scheduled activity with the majority of the family. And number three, interacting meaningfully. There's got to be discussion, or there's no family devotions. It's a lecture. Number four, it has to be around the Bible, or else it's not family devotions, on relevant life situations. If it's boring, if it's got nothing to do with you, you didn't have family devotions. You had a Bible course. And the last part is, it's got a goal. It's aimed at two things. Number one, building godly character, that is who you are, and habits, that's what you do. So, Jim, those are the five parts of what family devotions are today, in my opinion.
Bruce, those go by awful fast, and we have people driving cars and they're not taking notes and really would like to look at those again. And in fact, I want you to talk a little more about what they really mean. Let me take you back through them. Talk a little bit about number one in terms of having a regular schedule. We live such a hectic life, and father gets up sometimes and leaves before the rest of the family's even out of bed, and at night he's tired. How do you find a time that's convenient to the whole family?
You know, Jim, there isn't a time that's convenient for the whole family.
You do it whether it's convenient or not.
That's right. You know, when you think about it, there is a misconception that we all have that life isn't scheduled. But when you think about it, football practice for your child, it's scheduled. English class, lunch break, it's scheduled. Payday, making your bed, a house payment. You can't name hardly anything in anyone's life that's not scheduled. In fact, some people think 85% of your whole life is scheduled. Mm. So when you think about, I don't have time to schedule, that's not really true. You've scheduled up 85% of your life. The problem is that we've selfishly moved God out of our schedule and said he belongs in church on Sunday morning.
That's his schedule.
That's his schedule. But in Deuteronomy 6, which is probably the key passage in the whole Bible on daily devotions or family devotions, it says this, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all of your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house and walk by the way, and when you lie down, you rise up." Those are the two halves of the responsibility of we who are parents. Number one, to teach them diligently, and then to talk about them.
And diligently certainly does not mean every other week, does it?
No, it sure doesn't.
It implies daily.
That's right. It's a big responsibility. We've kind of done exactly what the church has done, Jim, in our own community. The church used to take care of the elderly. The church used to take care of the poor. The church used to take care of training its children in school. And we've passed them all off to the government. And the family has passed off the training of values to nothing but 1 hour of Sunday school, and that's it.
And that will not do it.
And this is
Will a Christian school be able to accept that responsibility 5 days a week. That's still not enough.
No, you just see we send our kids to a great Christian school. But you know, Jim, you're not seeing the average child come out of a Christian school turned on about God. He knows about him, knowledge basis. But there's a lot of values that don't fit with the knowledge because they aren't at home. They are not being taught at home, reaffirmed at home, or modeled at home. And I really believe that the reason why churches are falling apart is because families are falling apart. And the reason why families are falling apart is because we've started disobeying Scripture so blatantly with our children.
Hmm. And getting those values inculcated.
And you can't do it just by living. You have to spend time.
All right, let's take your second point having to do with a majority of the family being involved and getting father and mother and all the kids of varying ages. How in the world do you accomplish that?
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm gone a number of days, you know, out of the month. And so you try to realize when dad's not there, go ahead and have it. And when mom's not there, we ask the babysitter to have it.
And you know, so that it's a regular habit.
It's a regular habit. One time we had a pregnant girl living with our home who was not a believer. She was just off the street and she was pregnant. And she was a part of our family for quite a while until she had her baby. And that night we were eating dinner. It was time for family devotion. So that was in my stage of our family where I just read the Bible and asked questions. And it came around to her and she didn't know it. And so when it went around the room three or four times, she had to clean up the table. Well, that didn't go over big at all, and I just let it happen. The next night, she didn't miss one. She didn't know what was going on, but she didn't miss it. And after a few months, Darlene and I were leaving for an overnight, and we asked her to watch the kids. She's not a Christian at all. We were kind of nervous because she used to be on drugs and some other things, but we felt confident in her.
Yeah.
And the next morning, we're driving back up to the house, and we're coming up the driveway, and there's David and Jennifer at the front lawn. They come running, almost anger on their face. Dad! Mom! You'll never guess what Kim did! I was chewing on my heart as I drove that driveway, and Darlene said, oh, no, maybe we made a terrible mistake. I mean, your imagination goes wild. And David comes over, Mom, Dad, it was absolutely terrible. I said, David, what is it? Oh, Dad, after supper, she made us... You know, she asked these questions on the Bible, and I didn't know the answers, and I had to do the dishes last night.
You had an arrangement with your family where the one who didn't know the answers had to do the dishes.
That's
is
right,
that right?
That's right. And we didn't.
You haven't always done this job right. Then is that correct?
No, Jim, not at all. And I'm still not. You know, it's still a hunk of me that's guilty. Because some nights after work, you know, when you come home and you've been there too long, as it was, and you gave out too hard. To the other family where you work, and the kids are wound up, and you come home and you eat, and then it's time for family devotions, and down deep you're sitting there saying, oh, let me find the couch.
Giving all I can give today.
That's right, and your loving wife looks across at you and smiles with understanding, but underneath the surface now, don't forget, it's time for family devotions. And you know, Jim, some days you go to work, and it's not enjoyable. You just go grit it out. And somehow we think that family devotions... It's supposed to be enjoyable all the time.
Sometimes it's just sheer discipline.
Boy, it really is. Sometimes it's boring. Sometimes it's irrelevant.
But sometimes it's wonderful.
That's right. But you know, it's like planting seed in a field. Someday that seed's going to grow if you just keep planting it and you keep watering it. It might not hit sometimes, but boy, it's going to bear fruit.
Bruce, you said at one point to me that you felt it was so important to have family devotions that it was almost on the level of being sinful if you don't do it, if you know to do it and don't do it. You really feel that way?
You know, I didn't used to think that way. I used to think the way the average person thinks, and that is I tried it and it didn't work, but I tried it.
So it's not my fault.
Yeah. And then I begin to realize that I'm commanded to teach my children diligently, and I'm not going to teach them diligently unless I plan it to do it.
Hmm. Bruce, in the course of a year, we do more than 300 programs on at least 125 different subjects, but I know of none of them that is more important or more significant to the family than what we've talked about today. Or one that, as you said, represents more failure, more consistent failure, even for the most devout Christian family that wants to do what God wants them to do and cares about nothing more than the salvation of their children, yet life just seems to encroach upon that commitment to meet with a family in a regular time of devotion around those five factors that you talked about.
Jim, we'd love to help anybody out there get started on having family devotions.
Well, as you can hear, Dr. Bruce Wilkinson is an expert on how to effectively disciple others, and especially our children. I am so looking forward to tomorrow when we'll hear the second part of this interview on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and before we go today, don't forget this is the final week to take advantage of our May opportunity. Right now, as a thank you for all donations we receive just through the end of May this week, we'll send you two resources, my dad's book, Love for a Lifetime, and the DVD from our brand new Building a Family Legacy film series. Donate online by clicking the link at the top of our page at drjamesdobson.org or call us 877-732-6825. Coming up next time, the conclusion of our program on Effective Family Devotions with Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.